From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 19th day of February, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And Elaine Cobb will join us with this week's Marketing Term Defined. In agricultural news, the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing arguments today in a case between an Indiana farmer and Monsanto. China's government has publicly denied it passed the United States last year as the world's largest trader, and Nestle has pulled some of its product off European shelves after they were found to contain undeclared horse meat. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Don't forget, just after the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with meteorologist Don Day about the agricultural weather forecast and that it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can always find us online at willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Checking the numbers now as they finished up in Chicago at the CME Group on a Tuesday afternoon. Futures from the wheat pit were lower at 731.5 for the nearby March, down 10.75 in the July, the harvest month, down 9.75 at 741.25 in the soft red. Hard red from Kansas City at $7.96.5, a penny and a half higher. March corn futures $6.95, down 3.75. The May at $6.92, down 5. And July corn futures at $6.80.75 of a cent, down 4.5 cents. September 576.25, down 6. In December, your new crop on a close, down 5.25 in the corn pit at $5.57.75. March futures at 568.5 in the corn, down a nickel for the day. Soy complex, this is where the action really happened. March contract, a $14.70 close, up 45.5 cents. May futures at 1456.5, 41.75 higher. And July beans at $14.45.5, up 40.75. August soybeans $14.06, up 37. September at $13.30.75, 25.75. And then came the new crop, up 13.25 at $12.75 in the November. And January beans at $12.79, up 12.5 cents. Bean meal futures at $4.25.30, up $15.90. And bean oil at $15.60, 98 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the April contract at $129.55 on a settlement price, 90 cents lower. April feeders at 146.17.5, finished down 45 cents, and May lean hogs at $90.75, settled 87.5 cents lower. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day, $96.42 a barrel, 56 cents higher. The RBOB gasoline at $3.11.7, that's a penny and 7 cents lower. Ethanol at $2.36.5, up 1.2 cents. Difference between the two now at 75 2/10 cents. That's 2 9/10 cents narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas, or rather on Friday, natural gas at 3.26 7/10, 11 4/10 cents higher for the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel down 3 2/10 cents at $3.17 8/10. And the gold futures today at $1,603.60, settled $5.30 lower. The U.S. dollar trading at 80.46. That's down 0.11 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Scattered flurries, partly sunny, and a high of 24 degrees. The wind chill will be cold between 5 and 10 on a breezy west wind at 22 to 25 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 38, and then this evening partly cloudy, a low of just 8 degrees. The wind chill value is between minus 8 and 2 degrees. Blustery west-northwest winds at 14 to 21 miles an hour, gusting as high as 31 for the day. For the evening. Wednesday, sunny skies, a high of 25 degrees, wind chill values between negative 8 and 2. And Wednesday night, partly cloudy to low of 15. Thursday, snow afternoon, highs near 30. Thursday night, snow and freezing rain likely, mainly before midnight, cloudy to low of 27 degrees, a chance of precipitation set at 70%. And then Friday, mostly cloudy and 38. Friday night, mostly cloudy and 22. Saturday, partly sunny, a high of 35. And Saturday night, partly cloudy and a low of 23. Sunday, sunny skies and 43. Sunday night, mostly cloudy and 31. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the futures markets, Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
And it was a busy day in Chicago, but I think most of the news was coming out of South America.
You know, basically, we were a little disappointed out of the idea of what the amount of rain that fell in Argentina over the weekend. You know, some of the guys were just looking and a little enthused that the backup of boats is getting longer and longer for wait times to load. And the idea that harvest is being delayed and the beans aren't getting to the port fast enough to load out all the boats sitting there, and it might force some business back to the U.S. And, of course, a Lunar New Year coming to an end and seeing Chinese business come back. And the announcement of some sales of beans to China today.
Okay, a couple things on China. Out of South America, Argentine, there is a port strike there, and apparently they're picking and choosing some of the boats they're wanting to strike on. I think I saw a note that they had decided not to load Chinese boats with soybeans. Is that right?
You know, I couldn't tell you for sure on that one, Todd, but that would definitely make a difference and be pushing some of the largest importer beans to pick on them is sort of stupid on their part.
Yeah, well, I think that, well, it might be smart on the part of those who are striking.
But... Striking, yes, the striking people, but for the Argentine economy, I'm not thinking that's a good idea. But,
yeah.
You know, like I say, those are some crazy things. And, you know, with the inflation that they're having down there and with what's going on with their dock workers and talking about privatizing some of the loading areas, they are going to probably get a little bit mean in this strike.
Okay, so the big push was in the March, May, and July, all old crop soybeans, moving things much higher pretty quickly. Can that be sustained? And do you think it was more weather-related or more related to the strike that's been in place?
Oh, I think it's a combination of both. The weather was the number one. Number two, we saw the demand sitting out there that the crush is still very, very good. We've got a lot of things up in the air as far as we're talking about. We're having a hard time securing cash beans here in the U.S., number two like that. The other thing is options go off on Friday. We busted through our technical points, and we're up at the levels where some of those that shorted those calls on the way down are getting a little bit nervous here, and some of the guys are going after the psychological advantage of making them feel a little bit nervous.
I suppose it's important to make note of the difference between the old and the new crop prices and the difference in the price rise today.
Yeah, 13.25 on the November beans higher, and 46.25 higher on the March beans. Quite a bit of difference. You know, we're looking at the end of the week here. Of course, the USDA is going to have their outlook meeting, and probably a 95% chance they're going to come with some awfully big production numbers forecast for this planting year.
Do you think that'll come in both corn and soybeans?
Well, I think that both of them are going to be sizable numbers, a lot bigger carryout than what we are looking at this year. And, you know, that's why we're not so enthusiastic about new crop prices.
Turn your attention to the corn trade, maybe the coarse grains in general in Chicago. It was much quieter than the soybeans were today.
Quiet was the exact right word to use for the corn market today. Basically, I can't remember a day that we saw beans up 46 and closed corn negative. It just generally doesn't happen that way. You know, rising tide generally floats all boats. But basically, along the line, we saw reverse, you know, spreading buying the beans and selling the wheat and the corn, and the corn sort of caught in the middle because more pressure was actually upon the wheat. But all in all, the corn market, because of the slow demand, because of our export shipments being low, and because it doesn't look like we're going to continue to increase that, and the large number that's coming out of South America, hopefully, you know, soon, and also the big numbers that we're going to be looking at is on the numbers on Thursday and Friday when the USDA meets.
So I suppose that in general just gives you pause to consider all the problems that might be facing the corn market as the new growing season approaches us. The weather forecast looks better for the United States, including parts of the West.
Yeah, you know, some forecasts of some rains, maybe breaking a few of the trends of just totally dry weather. All of those are good things that we hope to, you know, bring back and see a little bit of better production, better weather for certain areas along the way. But, you know, we're still a long way from getting that crop in the ground yet and harvested. So, you know, some things to happen along the meantime. But we can't be overly enthusiastic towards new crop corn prices at this point in time until we start to see some bad weather like that we experienced over the last year.
In the livestock complex, both the hogs and the cattle have broken $10 from their high. Any relief for them sometime soon?
You know, can we get done with the sequester talk and that we won't have, USDA inspectors and meat plants? That would be one thing that would help them immensely along the way. As we've looked here, I think we've got 11 straight days up in gasoline prices to consumers. The added tax deductions from their paychecks this year. You put those two together, and unfortunately, meat doesn't sell very well at the grocery store.
Thank you much for taking the time with us.
Thanks, Tom.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. You can always hear Wayne again if you'd like off our website. The address there is willag.org. Again, that's willag.org, or you can just dial this number, 217-333-3434. We updated it about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day of the year with some of the latest information that airs on our radio stations. It's all at willag.org or on the telephone line at 217-333-3434.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Well, a quick look at what's been happening in the agricultural weather. In fact, the scattered flurries are scheduled for this afternoon. Partly sunny skies, a high of 24 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low of just 8 degrees. Sunny tomorrow with a high near 25. Partly cloudy on Wednesday at a low of 15. Thursday, snow afternoon. And then Thursday evening, snow and freezing rain likely mainly before midnight. It'll be cloudy and a low of 27. Friday, mostly cloudy skies and a high of 38 degrees. Mostly cloudy on Friday evening and 22. And on Saturday, partly sunny skies and a high of 35 degrees.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, now here's Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing arguments today in a case between an Indiana farmer and Monsanto that could have repercussions way beyond whether a farmer can go out and buy soybeans to plant without paying a tech fee. The high court's decision could have widespread implications, not just for agriculture, but a broad array of technological innovations in other industries, as well as companies that resell patented products. The Supreme Court will review a federal appeals court decision that ruled Vernon Bowman, a 75-year-old farmer from Sanborn, Indiana, infringed on Monsanto's patents when he replanted soybeans Bowman bought from a grain elevator. The case centers on a doctrine known as patent exhaustion, which means the buyer of a patented product is free to use that product without restriction. Monsanto argues if that Bowman's arguments prevail, the company would have no way to limit reproduction of Roundup Ready soybeans. The American Soybean Association, National Corn Growers Association, National Wheat Growers Association, and American Sugar Beet Growers Association all joined forces opposing Bowman. Lining up with Bowman are groups that have either opposed biotechnology or consolidation in the seed industry, including the Center for Food Safety and the National Farmers Union. A ruling on the case would be expected later this spring. China's government has taken the unusual step of publicly denying it passed the U.S. last year as the world's biggest trader, a politically sensitive issue. Trade data from both governments indicate China passed the U.S. last year in total imports and exports by a margin of $3.866 trillion to $3.822 trillion, or about $44 billion. China's Commerce Ministry issued a statement today denying that. It said China still lagged by $15.6 billion last year under World Trade Organization standards for valuing goods. The world's biggest food and drinks maker, Nestle SA, has become the latest company to pull some of its products off European shelves after they were found to contain undeclared horse meat. The company said in a statement late Monday that it withdrew some of its beef pasta-ready meals from sale after tests conducted 2 days earlier detected horse DNA. The level of horse DNA in its beef ravioli and beef tortellini meals was above the 1% threshold that the UK Food Safety Agency uses to indicate adulteration or gross negligence. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. By the way, Dave will be in Bradley, Illinois for the first Farm Credit Services Will Ag Outlook panel on Thursday evening of this week. You can find all the details online at willag.org, a great place to stay up to date on what's happening with willag.org. Now, up next, you know, livestock producers are looking for something else to feed their hogs other than corn, which is in short supply because of the drought last year. The short supply of corn has livestock producers considering different feedstuffs. Hans Stein is a swine nutritionist at the University of Illinois. He says many small grains can be efficiently and effectively economically substituted for corn.
The most important one is wheat. We do have wheat grown in the southern part of the state, particularly, and also in Missouri, and it is combined early, so that means if you run out of corn in July or August, there may be opportunities to buy wheat, feed grade wheat, and that's a very good deal. You can pretty much substitute corn for wheat, and you actually can take out a little bit of bean meal at the same time because there's more amino acids in wheat compared with corn. So it does help in the formulation. And so if you can buy wheat at the same price or less than corn, it's going to improve profitability.
It's possible to use other small grains in hog rations, too.
Barley is another good source of energy we can use in the diets. However, we don't grow a lot of barley in Illinois, so it'll have to be trucked in, and so it depends on what the cost will be. Same thing for field peas and oats and stuff like that. If they're available at a competitive cost, we can definitely use it. Very, very good ingredients to use. And we do have quite a bit of information on our website about those ingredients also.
The website address is http://nutrition.ansi.illinois.edu. It might be easier to search Google for the following phrase: University of Illinois Swine Nutrition. Look for Hans Stein's name in the search results. Again, the actual address is nutrition.ansi, that stands for animal sciences, .illinois.edu.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, it's time to define a marketing term. Commodity broker, analyst, and author of Mastering the Grain Markets, Elaine Cubb, joins us. She believes, of course, the key to profitable grain trading is building knowledge about the fundamental practices of the industry. Today, she'll help us define basis strategies. Thanks so much for being with us, Elaine. Let's start where we dropped off last week. We had defined basis as the difference between the futures price and the cash price across the United States. Can you give me a quick reminder of what arbitrage is as we make our way through basis strategies?
Well, an arbitrage is an instance where you are simultaneously buying one asset and selling another asset in the same market. So to use basis in this, you could be selling your cash grain and buying futures, for instance, and that would be an arbitrage trade. And doing that allows you to just be trading basis, just the difference between them. The spread between the cash price and the futures price is, for instance, basis.
How about from the merchandiser's point of view, how do they use basis as arbitrage?
They are always trading everything as a function of basis because they are always hedged. Their cash prices or their cash position is always hedged with the futures position. So every trade they make is an arbitrage between a weak basis value in one location, for instance, and a strong basis value somewhere else, or mixing and blending weaker basis value grain and turning it into a stronger basis value grain.
Is it important to understand that merchandisers, elevators in this case, potentially elevators, don't care as much about the price of the grain as they do about the potential difference in basis that they're arbitraging?
It absolutely can be, particularly from a negotiating standpoint. You know, an elevator may not really care about buying your corn at $6 versus $6.15, for instance. They'd be perfectly happy to pay you a stronger flat price for your grain as long as they can get it for a cheaper basis value, because that makes it better for their balance sheet. So to the degree that you have a price goal in mind, knowing that you can negotiate on the basis and get some push from the elevator or from a grain buyer to that degree can certainly be helpful to a farmer negotiating a cash sale.
I'd like to take you into one other area that's not on our list for the day, but close at hand, as we look forward to the 2013 crop year for corn and soybeans in particular, and the bids for acreage. I'm wondering whether, because more bushels of corn are produced per acre than soybeans, and elevators, merchandisers, tend to work off numbers of bushels as opposed to total price, whether there is an advantage for them in some way to push the market to plant one of those crops over the other.
Yes, there can be. And, you know, I've been noticing this, Todd. If you're looking at the new crop basis bids already for corn, for 2013 corn, I'm already noticing that the December basis is stronger, particularly out in the western Corn Belt, than we typically see for the spring. You know, a lot of times farmers will see a local basis that might be, let's say, 50 under the December futures contract for harvest corn, and then you might expect to see it seasonally strengthen up to about 20 under maybe later in the spring. So we'd be talking about spring 2014 in this instance. I'm already seeing basis bids that are 10 or 15 cents stronger than you ordinarily see for this time of year. So yes, I think that people definitely make decisions about already starting to hedge their 2013 production now. So yes, they're looking at those basis bids, and merchandisers could be pushing the direction one way or another. And obviously the futures price is really the big place where we're buying acres right now, and insurance prices are getting set here during the month of February.
And finally, for our basis strategies, can you give me a case study for farmers?
Yeah, like I just mentioned, the basis strengthening typically. I mean, we had some very unusual years in 2012, 2011, and even 2010. Basis did not behave by its usual seasonal patterns. But typically, you might find the highest futures price could be at one point of time in the year, but at that same time, basis might be relatively weak. So if you can lock in the highest futures price with a futures hedge, but not locking your basis by actually selling the physical grain at that time, and then wait until the time frame when you see your local bidders be urgently needing the grain and really pushing their basis and have a very strong basis level, so you're not locking in your futures price and your basis price at the same time, but you're locking in the strongest futures price and the strongest basis price at two independent points in time, that's the way that you can really, you know, really be masterful and really be a virtuoso grain trader, grain marketer.
Speaking of masterful, Elaine Cubb is the author of Mastering the Grain Market. She's a broker and an analyst. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's National Chocolate Mint Day. The creator of the day is lost in history, but it was most likely started by a candy maker or ice cream company. On this day in agricultural history in 1764, Gottlieb Sigmund Kirchhoff was born. He discovered glucose, developed a method for refining vegetable oil, and also experimented with brewing and fermentation. In 1855, the bread riots in Liverpool began. In many cases, after cleaning out the shops, they broke windows and smashed furniture. In Tsingtao, China, the first brewery was founded by German settlers in 1903. In 1906, the Battle Creek Toasted Corn Flake Company was founded by Will Keith Kellogg to manufacture breakfast cereals. The founding of the company was an outgrowth of practices based on the Seventh-day Adventist religion at the Battle Creek Sanitarium. The company produced and marketed the hugely successful Kellogg's Toasted Corn Flakes and was renamed the Kellogg Company in 1922. In 1912, on this date, Cracker Jack began to put prizes in each box. 3 years earlier, the song Take Me Out to the Ball Game was written by Jack Northworth on a 30-minute subway ride. The confection became a part of Americana with the third line of the song, Buy Me Some Peanuts and Cracker Jack. And in 1985, Cherry Coke was introduced. Actually, soda fountains, remember those? Have been making them for decades. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul. Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Don Day of Day Weather is on the phone line for this Tuesday afternoon. Don, thanks for taking the time with us. Tell me about the weather forecast here in the Midwest to begin with. In Urbana-Champaign, it went from warm and wet to, well, really cold.
Yeah, you know, expect a little bit more of this up and down pattern. I tell you, for the nation's midsection, it's going to be a very busy next couple of weeks. We've got systems lined up like rail cars on a freight train across the Pacific coming into the U.S. with really nothing stopping them. And ahead of it, ahead of each system, it warms up. We get some rain, and on the backside of these systems, we'll see a sharp drop in temperature and the rain turning to snow. And this is a pattern that will repeat itself. So be ready for more wet weather. There'll be some key areas of the western plain states that will get some really beneficial precipitation from this. So it's going to be a busy weather pattern.
Well, it is about time that that has happened. And you said they're lined up like freight cars. Do you think they'll get enough to get them off to a much better start to the growing season once it occurs?
Well, I think there's a good chance of that. When you see a pattern like this developing in late February, it's a situation where if it can continue into early March and we can continue to see similar situations, that should help. In particular, there's some real help on the way for Nebraska, real help on the way for Kansas, Oklahoma, even some areas of eastern Colorado, even portions of western Texas have some chances for precipitation.
Oh, my gosh. So we've got corn in Colorado and Texas and in Nebraska and the wheat crop in Oklahoma and Kansas. That'll be really good after such a tough year last year.
Yeah, this will be a real shot in the arm. There are portions of Kansas that could see an inch to an inch and a half of water out of this system. Some of that's going to be in the form of snow, so it will be a little bit nasty. But we'll also see this move into Iowa as well. Iowa going to score big with this system later in the week.
All right, let's turn your attention to South America. The Brazilian crop is coming out. It's a big one for beans, that is, and has been, well, hampered a bit by rainfall. On the flip side, the Argentine soybean crop just continues to get a little bit smaller and suffers through rough weather.
Yeah, I tell you, it's like night and day. You don't have to go far to see the dividing line between the wet and dry in South America. And while the trend is the same for Brazil, it's still going to be a little bit wet in some areas. For Argentina, overall, it's still a forecast that is on the dry side, although there's going to be a little bit more activity in the next 10 days down there. So there might be a little bit of late season help in some portions of Argentina, but they're going to end up probably with a little too much too late in terms of anything that's going to really give them a big boost. But it does look a little more moist.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report for Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.